Father, one of the reasons you are so good to us is because you tell us the truth. Today you will speak and you will warn us about the dangers of Perth. And it's a sign of your goodness that you love us so much to warn us. May every single person here listen, feel the love, the kindness as you warn us, and may we all obey. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who here remembers their first day of high school? Do you remember your first day of high school? I vaguely do, but not really, but a little bit. But here's a harder question. Do you remember what your parents said to you when you started high school? Can you remember any of the warnings they gave you? There you are, this little child about to metamorphose into something else, and you're about to go, I don't know, how old are you? 12, 11, 12, 13, I don't know. And you're about to go into that extremely dangerous, that world, that terrifying environment. I'm scared today of high schools, but anyway, that terrifying environment, the high school. Can you remember any of their warnings? I don't remember any. Can't remember one. In fact, I don't remember much from high school, but that's another subject. But then again, in my day, and I'm not old, in my day it was fairly tame compared to today. You know, my day was like, watch out for broken yo-yos. Be careful, marbles are flying around the place. You know, in fact, forgive me, and perhaps I'm wrong, but in my day, the biggest danger was physical. I went to a rough school. Everyone got beat up at some point. It was part of, it was like an extracurriculum thing. It was rough. Everyone got beat up. Wasn't a big deal. It was fairly simple. But today, I've got teenage kids, and I find it very complicated. How do you give warnings today to a kid going into high school? What do you say? Can you imagine? Okay, now little Johnny, I want you to be very careful. Everywhere you go, there will be pornography. You will see pornography, not maybe, you will. It's not true, it's fake, it's twisted sex, it's perverted. But everywhere you go, all of those children have got extremely powerful computers on them that can access, no matter what the school does, the school thinks it. Anyway, they can access anything everywhere. Be careful. In my day, I knew a kid who knew a kid whose older brother had a magazine. What do you do today? How do you warn them? Or there's little Esmeralda. Darling, be careful. You always thought that you were actually a girl. They're going to teach you that you're not really a girl. It's a choice you've made. Doesn't matter what's in front of you, literally. There's no such thing as boy or girl. There's no such thing. It's a thing imposed on us by society. You are free to choose. In my day, we believed in science. We thought biology was true, and biology determined gender. It was very simple. No. There was a guy who flirted with being a girl in my day. There was. I remember him well. But we all knew that he had psychological problems. Now, suddenly, in this day and age, we've got bigotry problems, and there's nothing wrong with those people who struggle with their gender. So how do you warn Esmeralda? I'll give you one more example. You're going to think I'm exaggerating. Little Fabio is about to go to high school. One of his health and safety lessons is how to take methamphetamine safely. When you buy it, you need to look for this to check that it's pure, that it really is ice, methamphetamine. This is how you judge its purity. This is how you heat it properly. This is how you smoke it and make sure you don't overdose. In my day, We didn't have, look, we had lots of herbs. They grew everywhere. I admit that, okay? But we didn't have MDMA. We didn't even know what that looked like. Hey, my science teacher was weird. I think he experimented with things. But how do you prepare Fabio for that? You all think I'm exaggerating. I read this week of high schools that are starting to do that. Dwayne, I thought I came to church. What's all this parenting lessons for? What are you doing? That is exactly how Moses is feeling in the book of Deuteronomy. That's exactly what's going on. Israel is about to enter the promised land. Moses can't go with them. For 40 years, like a parent, he's led them through the wilderness like children. And they've whined and complained like children. But at last, they're going into the promised land. Moses is not allowed to go with them. It's big. It's bad. There are baddies everywhere. There's foreign gods. There's false teaching. There's bad ideology everywhere. It's scary, like high school. And so the book of Deuteronomy is Moses preaching three sermons, saying this is what it's going to be like. Be careful. Watch yourself closely. In the first half of Deuteronomy chapter 8, we saw trials and troubles. That was last week, about why God let that happen. In this half of the book of Deuteronomy, we come to the most surprising danger. And this is why this morning you're going to hear it so clearly for us here in Perth. There is a surprising element of danger which you wouldn't have guessed. Let's go back to high school. You know my high school example? Let's go back. So there you are, warning little didums about what's going to happen in high school. Pornography, gender distortion, drugs. You warn. But would you ever hear a parent warn like this? Watch. Now, little Lucy, watch out. Be very careful. It may be that you do very well at school. Watch out. You might even get top marks in your class. Be careful. That's dangerous. You might end up doing well in sport. And you might even become the house captain of your sport. Watch out. Hey, listen, Lucy, if you win any prize, be very careful. It's dangerous. Have you ever heard a parent warn like that? Because we don't think the way God thinks. That's why. Those things are not wrong. They are not wrong. But they're extremely dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Welcome to the deadly danger of prosperity, which we don't know about because we're so prosperous. And this passage is going to, it's not a mortal danger. Prosperity will never kill you. It's not a mortal danger. It's an immortal danger. And that's what Moses is going to say. Look with me briefly. Look at verse 11. Take care, lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his rules, his statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you've eaten and you're full and you've built good houses and you live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, your silver, gold is multiplied, all that you have is multiplied, then your heart gets lifted up and you forget the Lord. Can you see the danger? We got two things this morning. And the first one's longer, so don't lose heart. The first one's longer. Two things we're going to learn this morning. Number one, prosperity makes us forget what God has done for us. Prosperity makes us forget what God has done for us. Look with me at verse 11. Take care. Spirituality requires effort, diligence, being cautious. Christians take precautions over their soul. We take care. We don't think Christianity, I believe in Jesus, so now it's going to be cool. We work hard at it. We take care. We're very careful about our souls. You might be here this morning and you're not yet a Christian. And you're thinking pornography, gender, wow, you Christians have got so many hang-ups. I don't say that to you when you get in your car and you put your seatbelt on. I don't say, well, you've got so many hang-ups. No, no, you're looking after your body. You must understand Christians look after their souls. That's why we take care. We're very careful. We're concerned more about our soul and our spirituality than we are about our body. Look at verse 11. Take care lest you forget by not keeping his word, i.e. his commandments, his rules, his statutes. Take care. Now, what will make us forget God's word? What will make us forget to obey God's word? And in this section, the number one thing is, well, it's there for you, prosperity. Prosperity will make you forget. Look at verse 12 to 13. When you've eaten and you're full, and you've built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, your silver, gold's multiplied, all that you have is multiplied. What's it saying? When you've got a full tummy, and you've got good houses and a big super and a retirement pension all sorted out, those things are not bad. You will never hear this morning that those things are bad. But they're dangerous because your heart gets lifted up. It's like rich food. What happens if you eat rich food? You get cholesterol, and it's bad for your heart. Being rich is always bad for your heart. God even designed it so that food reminds us that riches is dangerous for our heart. The reason is our heart has no space for God because it's cluttered. It's stuffed full of things. And welcome to Perth. So stuffed with prosperity. The average person in Perth will speak, I guess, something like this. Seriously, what value could God add to my life? Seriously. I live just like you. So I'm a Christian. Next door is my neighbor. He's not a Christian. What's the difference between his and my life, except his garden's better than mine? I live just like you. I got values just like you. I drive a car just like you drive a car. I love my family just like you love your family. I'm going to die just like you're going to die. But you're only saying that because you're prosperous. Prosperity is a drug. And what it's done is it's dulled the pain of your empty soul. You can't hear your empty soul because prosperity is a drug. It's an analgesic. It stopped the throb. And when you die, to your great amazement, to your surprise, you will realize that all that stuff couldn't help you. It didn't matter. Only love mattered. God is love. And you've ignored him your whole life. You thought you were full, but you're empty. Prosperity is like those horrible, which I think are banned now, in my day, diet drugs. What's it? You know, you take those drugs and they stop you from being hungry, so you get skinny and you don't eat, you know. That's what prosperity does. All those people are starving, but they don't feel it because prosperity is a drug. It's not just Perth. Oh, wow, he's having a great go at the people. No, no, Christians. This is a danger for us too. Prosperity is amnesiac. We forget what God has done for us because we're prosperous. Look at verse 14. Then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who, let me just remind you, brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Here's what prosperity does. We forget our great salvation. We forget what God has done for us. We forget we were in the house of slavery. I'll tell you how much we forget. Dwayne, when was I in the house of slavery? Oh, you've forgotten. You've forgotten. Life without God is slavery. You don't believe that. You've forgotten. It was slavery to your passions and your desires. It was slavery to yourself. I couldn't stop doing those things. They never satisfied me, but I couldn't stop. No, worse. I didn't want to stop, which is the worst slavery in the world. I didn't want to stop. And God set you free. He freed you from those things, but you've forgotten. You look at sin now, and you look at it and you think, oh, I think I'm missing out. They're having so much fun. I'm missing out. You've forgotten. Your prosperity has given you a forgetful mind. Prosperity makes us forget how God broke us down. Look with me at verse 15. Who led you, this was actually last week's sermon, so I won't spend too much time on this. Who led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its serpents, fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground in which there was no water. Who brought you water out of the flinty rock. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers did not know. That he might humble you and test you. The hard time, we saw this last week, so I don't want to repeat last week's sermon. But the key thing is God broke you down. That's what he does for all of us. Do you remember when he did it for you, or have you forgotten? Well, let me paint you a picture. Okay, so you went to uni. Do you remember when you were at uni? And you went through that really bad patch. Feels like such a long time ago. You started having anxiety attacks. Horrible. Maybe your family split up, or your parents or something. You had girl problems. There was stress, incredible stress with exams and assignments. You weren't sure, have I picked the right thing? I don't know what I'm doing anymore. You had no money. You got health issues. Do you remember those health? Oh, what a year that was, my annus horribilis. Worst year of my life. You were down. It was a hectic time in your life. God beat you up. He broke you down. Then, when you were at your lowest, a friend said to you, come and listen to these talks on Jesus. Maybe Christianity Explored at Peppermint Green Cafe on Wednesday nights. And you went. And you started hearing about Jesus. But you knew, you heard of him before, but he's not important. He's for geeky do-gooders. But now that you've broken down, you hear about Jesus. He displays incredible power. He shows unparalleled wisdom. He has the answers to your deepest nagging questions. Your world made no sense, but by golly, Jesus makes sense. And above all, you learn about his unconditional love for you. That he should bleed and die for you when you were ignoring him. You hear about the stupendous grace. You hear that God actually doesn't want anything from you because you've got nothing to give him anyway. He wants to give himself to you. You hear these things. You learn about life beyond the grave, eternal life, rock solid hope of heaven, and your heart is one. You become a Christian. You think Jesus is the best thing ever. God saves you. But over the years, you finish your degree. You climb the corporate ladder. You get healthy. You get married. You get a house. You get kids. And then you get forgetful. You forget, which I suddenly realized. Forgetful. That's where the word comes from. You get full. Forgetful. Oh, no, that's a assumption in my head. Could be wrong. Don't go with that. You forget the bad times. You forget how much you needed Jesus. It's all good now. It's still hard. You still got to get on the Mitchell Freeway every day. It's hard, but it's good. Your comfort has crushed your memory. When you were down in despair, you begged Jesus. You cried out. Now, there's little urgency to pray. Really? Give me this day my daily bread. I mean, really? Have you seen my bank account? Don't worry, God. I got that one covered. You used to stare at the cross in wonder. Now you stare at your 4 meter squared TV in wonder. You used to come to church every Sunday, hang on every word. Now you have to skip church to take time out with the kids to try out the new boat that your family has bought you. You've got to do that. You've forgotten. You've forgotten your roots. You've forgotten your salvation. Yeah, cognitively, right? Jesus died for my sins. I'll never forget that. But your heart has forgotten. Take care, says Moses. Your heart is so filled with dainties and baubles. Take care. Beware the deadly danger of prosperity. It hides the cross like a thick cloud. God gets hidden behind the sofa of comfort, which is why this church never stops hammering that satanic gospel of prosperity. It is destructive of the human soul. So what should our attitude be? What does the New Testament say? Well, this is what the New Testament says. People who are, this is 1 Timothy chapter 6. People who are depraved in mind, which is, you know, that's why I, as a preacher, you can be a coward. So you just hide behind the Bible. People who are depraved in mind, deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Did anyone tell you that your Christianity should lead to prosperity? Then they have a depraved mind and they're deprived of the truth. So what are Christians after? Godliness with contentment. That's what we're after. That's great gain. Notice not just contentment. I really believe lots of people in Perth are content. We're not after that. We're after godliness. With contentment is great gain. It is the precious jewel that we're after. No Christian wants to win the lottery. That would be a disaster. We don't want the lottery. Take that thing away from my soul. I'm happy with God. I'm content because I have God. It carries on. For we brought nothing into the world. And we can't take anything, nothing out of it. But if we've got food and clothing, with those things, we'll be content. Can you see our perspective? The Christian perspective is the world to come. Our eggs are in another basket. They're not in this basket. They're not in this basket at all. The passage carries on. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith. That's what Deuteronomy 8 says. Is saying. Moses is saying that. Watch out. And pierce themselves with many pangs. Now can you see why God lets bad things happen to good people? Why? Because it makes us come back and remember. Don't waste your tough times. Don't waste your tough times. Let them drive you to God. Look at verse 16. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna that your fathers didn't know, that he might. Why did God put me through tough times? To break you down, as we saw last week. To humble you. To test you. And here's the thing. To do you good in the end. This is where us and prosperity gospel go separately. He will do us good. Dwayne is a very rich man. In the end, when I get my inheritance, which is not in this life and not on this planet, which is doomed to destruction, he will do it in the end. He will do you good in the end. Prosperity makes us forget what God has done for us. Second thing, and very briefly, here's the question. Okay, Dwayne, I've come to church this morning and you've got me feeling terrible. Which is not me. That's what the Word of God does. What must I do if I am wealthy? Which is all of us. What must I do if I'm in the top 3% of planet Earth? Which is all of us. Is it wrong? Should I sell my house and go down to BCF and buy a tent and camp out on the street? What must I do? Well, here's what you must do. And this is the second and last thing, very briefly. Don't do that. Don't sell your house. Prosperity should make us grateful to God. That's what he's after. Do that and you're safe. Prosperity should make us grateful to God. Look at verse 17. Beware. That's why this sermon, I'm feeling it, is so heavy today, because that's the ethos of this passage. Beware. Take care. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth. You've forgotten. The danger of prosperity is that we start, and this is going to be hard to accept, we start believing we achieved this. Can you believe that? And we all do this. We all do this. What we have is a reflection of us. That's what we start thinking. And let's be honest. I worked hard. When I was at school, the other kids were goofing off. I did my homework. This, as you can hear, is an illustration. You know, I worked hard at school. The other kids were goofing off. I did my homework. I'm healthy. Well, because I work hard. While I was writing this, do not ask me why I remember this. This is true, but it's just a snapshot. You know, your snapshots of your mother. I remember a lady saying to my mum, I must have been yay high, you're so lucky to have such a good figure. And my mum snapped back. My mum could snap. She wasn't a nice person, I love it. But my mum could snap, and she said, well, actually, it's not luck. I work very hard for this, you know. I don't know why I remember that. I do. But that's how we all think. I've got a paid-off house. Well, yes, but to be honest, I'm cleverer than you, and I worked hard, and I read the market, and I listened to, you know, realestate.com, whatever. Now, all of that might be true. It might be true. But go deeper. Go deeper. Behind all of that is a God who gave you everything you have. Just being born in Australia puts you at an advantage over 96% of the human race. Did you choose to be born in Australia? Was that your choice? Did you do that? I read something up on world poverty. Listen to this. If you have any amount of money saved, in other words, you're not living from hand to mouth. If you've got a hobby that requires some equipment or supplies, if you go to your closet and you can choose your clothes, if you've got two cars in any condition, if you live in a home that is secure, you're not going to get kicked out. You are in the top 5% of the human race. Remember, it is he who gave those things to you, all of them. They're all from him. Perth should be a place filled with, people should just be praising God. Look at verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God. Perth should be a place that never forgets God. You get on the train, you're going down to your work, and everyone on the train is like, good morning, yeah, how you going? Isn't God great? Yeah, he's so great. I could have been born in Mogadishu. But yeah, praise God, man. This is such a cool place. Every day at work, you're at the office, at the copier machine. Did you have breakfast this morning? Yeah, yeah. Did you have breakfast? Yeah, yeah. Praise God. He's so good to us. You know, you go to sleep, warm, cozy bedroom. There hasn't been a civil war that I've read about in Perth for quite a while. And you wake up in the morning and you're refreshed and you think to yourself, you know, what a great country. In fact, Australians all let us rejoice. We are young and free. We've golden soil and wealth for toil. Let's give God thanks. No, we've got one of the only anthems on planet Earth that doesn't mention God. Prosperity has eaten the soul of Australia. We're so wealthy, we've forgotten. In fact, we haven't just forgotten God. We don't like him. In every poor country in this world today, Christianity is spreading like wildfire. Atheism has got no place in poor countries. Atheism is a rich man's hobby. So what should I do, Dwayne? Because you're wealthy, I'm wealthy. What must I do? Here's what you must do. Don't forget to obey. Moses said none of these things so that the Israelites go, I hate myself. No. Rejoice. You are young and free. You've got wealth for toil. It's okay. Praise him and don't forget to obey. Don't let prosperity make you forget. Look at verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God. It is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he might confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is to this day. Remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, the covenant he's made with you as a Christian. Practically, how do we do that? It's very easy. Look at the New Testament. As for the rich, which is every one of us in this present age, charge them. I think I'm doing that. Am I doing that? Charge them not to be haughty. Don't be proud. Nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Isn't he kind? You don't have to go home and eat bread. You can go to Macca's because he gives you everything richly to enjoy. Here's what you are to do. You are to do good. If you're wealthy, you want to go to Brendan and say, can I help with the setup and pack up? I want to be rich in good works. You definitely want to do that. Thus storing up for themselves treasure. God's not against you being rich. But that treasure is waiting for you. You won't get it in this lifetime. Storing up for themselves treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may, and here's the thing, look at this, take hold of that which is truly life. How can you grasp life if your hand's full of stuff? I can't hang on, I've got too many jet skis. You need to be empty. And then you can grab hold of what is truly life. Above all these things, remember that Jesus Christ, though he was rich, look at this, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich. It cost Jesus to make you rich. Now, I'm not going to say much about that verse. In fact, I'm going to leave it up there because it's the first Sunday of the month and we're going to have communion. And we're going to use, how's this for a segue, but it's a real one. We're going to use that verse to help us remember what God has done for us.